You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, as we said, we're on this series called Christmas at the Movies 2, a sequel to the one we did a couple years ago. And what we're doing is just having some fun at Christmas time. We're taking some Christmas movies and drawing spiritual truth from it. And it doesn't mean that we, vouch for everything about the movie. It doesn't mean, as you're going to see this morning, that we are saying that... Just in case kids and family are watching online. But actually, St. Nicholas, he is real, was real, and he was an actual person that gave gifts to children, and there's a really cool story about it and how Jesus used him to make a difference in the lives of people. So you can read more about St. Nicholas or Santa Claus. So I hope I didn't spoil anything there for you guys, just in case. Okay, good. Thanks for covering. but this morning we're looking at a scene from the movie called The Santa Claus with an E at the end because, as you'll see in a moment, it's based on a contract. And this is, it's kind of funny, like there's what, 3 sequels and now 2 seasons of a Disney Plus TV show about this movie that starts with this dude killing Santa. Like, and it is like, yay, it's a great Christmas movie. It's really funny. But the way that the movie starts is Scott Calvin hears a clatter. There arose such a clatter on his roof. He goes out to see what it is, startles Santa Claus. Santa falls off of his roof and plummets to his death. And it's a kid's show. And then Scott ends up, there's a little card in the Santa suit that says, put on the suit. The reindeer will know what to do. And so eventually his son talks him into putting on the suit. And as you'll see you won't see in this clip, but the reindeer end up taking him to these different houses and he is able to deliver gifts until ultimately he ends up in the North Pole. And here Scott Calvin is talking with Bernard, the lead elf, about why he is not Santa Claus and what is he doing here. This doesn't make any sense. Because all he did was put on the suit. So here is this scene from The Santa Claus.
I am not Santa Claus.
Ah.
Did you or did you not read the card?
Yeah, I read the card.
Then you're the new Santa. In putting on the hat and jacket, you accepted the contract.
What contract?
The card in the Santa suit. You said you read it, right? So when you put on the suit, you fell subject to the Santa Claus. Here.
The Santa Claus? Oh, you mean the guy that fell off my roof?
No, not Santa Claus the person, Santa Claus the Claus.
What?
You're a businessman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A clause, as in the last line of a contract. You got the card? Okay, look. The Santa Claus. In putting on the suit and entering the sleigh, the wearer waives any and all rights to any previous identity, real or implied, and fully accepts the duties and responsibilities of Santa Claus in perpetuity until such time that wearer becomes unable to do so by either accident or design.
What does that mean?
It means you put on the suit, you're the big guy.
It's ridiculous. I didn't put on a suit because it's...
Try to understand this! Let me explain something to you, okay? Toys have to be delivered. I'm not going to do it. It's not my job. I'm just an elf. It's Santa's job, but Santa fell off the roof. Your roof. You read the card. You put on the suit that clearly falls under the Santa Claus, and now you're Santa, okay?
A question.
What?
When can I get out of here?
Dad, you got to see this place.
You leave tomorrow morning. You have 11 months to get your affairs in order, and you're due back here Thanksgiving.
I'm not coming back here Thanksgiving.
I'll shift the list to your house.
What list?
Come on, look. A list. Making a list.
Checking it twice.
Look, you put a P next to the kids who are nice and a C next to the naughty ones.
P and C?
Yeah. P for friends and C for school, right, Bernard?
Hey, wait a minute. How do I know who's good and bad?
We all know.
So as the movie progresses, you learn that Scott Calvin becomes Santa Claus. He puts on some extra Santa Claus weight. He grows an instant white beard, shaves it off, and it grows back instantly again. Has a fond affinity for sweets and eats a lot of them. And there's just a whole bunch of other things that happen. But what is interesting in this movie, and here's where we're going to draw our spiritual truth, is that as soon as he puts on the suit, he is given everything that he needs to be Santa Claus. He doesn't have to do it. He just puts on the suit, and everything else is done for him. It happens to him. And so this morning, we're going to learn a spiritual truth from this movie, and that is that the Santa Claus shows us that God has equipped us this Christmas. And what we're going to look at is we're going to look at this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll turn on the house lights now. If you have a paper Bible, you can turn there. But 2 Peter chapter 1, this was one of two books written by Peter, like the same Peter as Walking on Water with Jesus Peter. And in this letter, he was writing to mostly Jewish people, actually, and talking to them about what it means to follow Jesus. And in chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." And so what we're looking at here is that if you have chosen to be a follower of Jesus, you have everything that you need to do everything that God wants you to do. And I know a lot of times we think, like, I'm not equipped. You know, I haven't been doing this long enough. I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't understand big theological terms. I don't speak Greek and Hebrew. You know, I've only been following Jesus for a few years. I'm not old. You know, I don't know how to tell other people about Jesus. And we have all these reasons, all these excuses, and sometimes they're rooted in, you know, selfishness and some negative things, but a lot of times they're rooted in just, I just don't even know where to begin. I don't think I can do this. I don't have what it takes. And I want you to know that Peter explains to you and me that we have everything that we need to follow Jesus and to live the life that God has called us to live. There is nothing that you don't have that you might need to do what God has called you to do. And we need to remember that. And kind of that's the theme here, is that, you know, Scott was like, "I'm not ready to be Santa Claus. I don't know how to do it." And they said, "Hey, as soon as you put on the suit, you've got everything you need." And you see in the movie, like, at one point, like, the present bag, like, floats him up in the air, and then he automatically, like, mysteriously gets sucked down a chimney, and again, he puts on the necessary weight to be Santa Claus, and just all these different things that happen to him. And when we come to follow Jesus, we have been given everything that we need. And so I want to talk about what it looks like when you put on the suit. And when I'm talking about putting on the suit here, we're talking about following Jesus. And there's three things that this passage shows us, and it's important that you understand all three pieces of this. The first thing is that God's ability achieves this. That God's ability does this. This is not based on you or your ability. It's not based on your maturity or maturity, if you're really mature. It's not based on your knowledge. It's not based on how long you've been following Jesus or how much education you have or where you grew up or your family or any of that. Everything that we're going to be talking about this morning is because of what God has done. It's Him. It's His ability. And that's the first part of this verse. Peter says, next slide there, "By His divine power, God." By His divine power. And the Greek word here, because, you know, you don't know Greek, but that's okay, because you don't need to, because you have everything you need to know. But this word power is a Greek word that you know. The Greek word is dynamis. And that Greek word dynamis we use for dynamite, because it is something that is an explosive thing. It is something that is power, that is ability. And so that this is by God's dynamite, by God's power, we're able to do the things that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But you need to understand that you aren't the one that does it. And you don't even, and listen to me here, you don't even need to clean yourself up first for God to do this. You don't need to get your life right. Now, there are benefits and advantages to following Jesus and everything. But there's no point where it's like, oh yeah, my life isn't together enough. God can't use me. You don't even need to do that because it's not about you. It's not about what you did yesterday. It's not about the bad attitude you had last week. It's not about the bad attitude you had coming in here. Because, dude, like, this is impressive. There's something about rain that's like, oh, I can't do church when it's raining. I don't understand that. You know, you can't do church when it's raining. You can do football when it's raining, but church, like, it's always been historically, like, all of my years, it's like, oh, it's raining. There's going to be, like, four people here, because I don't know. It'll be snowing and people will be here, but rain is, like, this negative thing. But anyway, whether you came in with a good attitude or bad attitude doesn't matter, because it's not about you. It's about what God has done and what God is doing. And so he's given you everything that you need. There's nothing that you need to fix, to get right, to straighten up so that God will give you these things, so that God will provide that for you. And that's really important because, I mean, maybe you're not like me, but, you know, you get to a low spot and you're like, I don't know. Things have been rough right now. Why would God use me? Why could he use me? Why should he use me? And those are all legit questions. Like, why would he? Who are we? David even says that. Who am I that God would even think of me? But the fact is, that's God's love. And so when you go into any situation, whatever that might look like, and we'll talk about what that situation means, but don't get to a spot where you're like, oh, I can't do this. I don't have what I need. Because God has given you everything you need. Maybe you just don't see it the way God sees it. Or maybe it's a situation, as we'll see in a moment, that maybe you shouldn't be in to begin with. But there's nothing that you will find yourself, no situation where you're like, I don't have what I need. No, because God has given you everything by his power. It's not about your strength. And again, in the Santa Claus, all those things happened to Scott. He didn't do anything. He simply put on the suit. Everything else happened to him. And it went from there. So this isn't, and I guess also to say, this isn't on your shoulders either. Like maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum saying, I need to work harder. I need to do gooder. I need to be better before God can use me. And that's what grace is. That you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but God does that because he loves us. So understand that everything that we're talking about here is about God's power, God's dynamite. God's ability is the one that does this. So God's ability achieves the tools we receive. So, yeah, you got me. You're feeling it. I'm vibing right now. The tools we receive. Oh, I should have said thieves. That would have been even cooler because, you know, I'm cool. but it's God's ability. He's given us the tools that we receive. And actually, did you guys notice? I don't know. You have to be older to understand that there was a little Easter egg right there in that scene that we just saw, where Tim Allen picks up the tool belt and kind of goes and puts it down, because at the time he was starring in Home Improvement and he always wore a tool belt. So there's a little Easter egg there. But we receive the tools because of God's power. And this is what Peter goes on and says. He says, God has given us. Next slide, there we go. Has given us everything we need for living a godly life. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So there is, notice that word everything. It's not most things. It's not some of the things, but he's given you some and you need to kind of work to make the rest. It's not like one of those deals where, you know, I don't know if you've been a part of like a fundraiser or something like that, where they're like, hey, a generous donor has agreed to match every contribution that you give up to a certain amount of money. And that's really cool. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we don't approach God that way. God's not like, well, I'll match what you give. And you know, if you do this, then I will do that for you. Like, God has done this for us, and he has given us everything, every piece that we need, everything that we need for living a godly life. And so, again, in the movie, he had everything. There wasn't a part where he needed to figure it out. There wasn't a spot where he, like, even when he got the list, which is also really weird, really funny, I guess. It was funny back in the 90s. Now I watched it. I actually watched it, and it's kind of weird. First of all, I should say, I never actually watched the movie fully until I had to watch it as research for teaching. So, like, last month, I watched the whole movie, and I'm like, I don't remember seeing some of these scenes. And I think it was funny in the 90s. It was kind of funny today. But anyway, even knowing, you know, as he says, how will I know who's do naughty or nice? He's like, you'll know. And he did know, and he had this list and was able to go through and mark that. So he had everything that he needs. And as followers of Jesus, we have been given everything we need, every piece, every part of it to do life. And that means if you have everything you need, it means there's nothing that you lack. So there's no situation where you can encounter going, oh, you know what, God just left me here. I'm out. He hung me out to dry. I don't have what I need here. Or a situation where we're dealing with someone and you're like, you know, I really think this is what God wants me to do, but I can't. I can't do that. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have the experience. I don't have the education. I don't know the Bible. I don't know everything about the Bible like Sean does. Yeah, I do not know everything about the Bible at all. And frankly, and we were talking about this in Prime Basics a couple of weeks ago, we're never going to. We're never going to understand all of it. And some people have said, you know, well, when we're with Jesus, we'll understand all of it. And I'm not even sure about that. I think when we get to be with Jesus, we can be like, okay, God, what was the deal with this? Can you tell me about that? And he might answer. But I think if we knew everything, we would be God. And the fact that he is God is a good thing. So the point is this, like, there isn't anything that you lack. And so if you feel that God is calling you to do something, God is nudging you to do something, there is something that you feel like you need to do, and maybe it's, you know, something as simple as the Christmas project. Like, I can't afford that $10 right now. If God's leading you to do it, he's going to provide everything you need. So if you give that $10, he's going to, and I'm not saying he's going to give you $10 back, that's not what we're saying, or you're going to get $20 in return, but God's going to give you whatever you need. If that's something he's leading you to do, which then brings us to that statement. He says, for living a godly life. He's not going to give us everything we need for living a sinful life. He's not going to give us what we need. If we find that we're in a spot that we did something wrong and you're like, okay, I bet all of this money on a football game. And now we're like, God, please give me everything I need to beat up the mafia guys that are going to come and break my kneecaps to pay them back. Like, that's not a promise here, because that's not living a godly life. Now, again, God is full of grace and mercy. He does things that we don't deserve. He cares for us and loves us when we unconditionally. So there's mercy and grace for that. But just understand that Peter isn't saying that just jump into anything you want and it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, God's going to give you everything you need. That's not what he says. He says everything we need for living a godly life. And actually, and this is not on the slide, but in our crop series, the first crop series, we talked about a bunch of these passages that people, you know, cut short. And one of them is that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But if you read the whole passage, it actually says, I can do all things through Christ who loves me and are called according to his purpose. I messed that all up. See, I don't know everything. But the point is that when you cut it short, you miss the fact that, no, that's not what God's saying. God's saying is that there's a bigger picture here. And so... God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. And so what I want to challenge you with is before we get to a spot where you're like, yeah, I know that this seems like what God wants me to do. I know I probably should talk to them. I know that they're my coworker. And, you know, if I talk to them and they don't respond about Jesus and they don't respond, well, I could get fired. And again, I'm not talking about doing anything illegal. But if God is nudging you and you're like, I don't know what to do here, trust him to provide what you need. Trust him to come through. And maybe it's a financial need. Maybe there's something like you really feel like, yeah, you're right now, things are really tight. But you feel like God is calling you to give to someone else. Help them with some Christmas gifts or whatever. And from on paper, it doesn't look like it's going to work. If that's where you feel God is leading you, then do it. Because he's going to provide everything you need. And it's not up to you to figure it out. It's up to you to trust him. Because it's God's ability that achieves it, the tools we receive. And here's the clincher part, though. It's when we believe. When we believe. Next slide there. There you go. When we believe. And so this isn't just a kind of a blanket promise that God's going to give everybody everything they want all the time and everybody's going to be rich, because that obviously wouldn't work. And of course, if everyone's rich, then no one is. Or how does that work? You know, the whole Incredibles, when everyone's a superhero, no one is. It doesn't mean that. It means that when you believe in Jesus, God is going to give you everything. And that's the moment you receive these things. And that's what he says here, continuing on the passage. He says, we have received all of this. Why? How? By coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And I love that phrase, glory and excellence. Like, it sounds cool in English, and it means the same kind of thing in Greek. It's like this idea of royalty, that the king, the great king, has given us this. And he has called us to himself and says, I'm going to give you all this. You don't deserve it, but it's yours when you simply believe in me. And that's what God has done for us through Jesus. And so this is a gift from God when we come to know him. And so, you know, the one question is, have you come to follow Jesus? Because this is a big step. Like, that's part of this equation. And again, if you're like, yeah, I want stuff, so I'm going to follow Jesus, that's not what we're talking about here. But to say, God, I want to follow you because of what you've done for me, that you offered your son in my place on the cross, that Jesus took my sins upon himself, and I want that. And then God says, when you believe that's what Jesus has done for you, then you're going to get the whole package. You get the whole thing. And it's like, I guess this isn't a spoiler. I think the original Willy Wonka movie was 1978, so you had your shot. And it was based on a book, and you could read books too. And I guess there's a prequel coming out like this month for Wonka. But anyway, at the very end of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or the end of Willy Wonka, or whichever movie or book you're looking at, Charlie, of course, has won the golden ticket. He makes his way through the factory, and they thought it was just going to be for a lifetime supply of candy, of chocolate. But when you get to the end of the book or the movie, you find out that his golden ticket didn't just give him that, but it gave him everything. That he became the next owner, CEO, president, whatever you want to call it, of Wonka. And so this one thing, he thought it was worth this, but it ended up being worth the whole thing. And that's the same thing for us. Like, when we come to follow Jesus, Jesus is like, you know, hey, I'm giving you my life for your sin, which is in itself enough. But God in his grace and his love says, you know what, I love you so much, you get the whole thing. And that's what we're talking about here. That we have everything that we need to live a godly life. And that comes when we believe. And you know, it doesn't mean that when we follow Jesus, everything's going to be easy. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It doesn't even mean things, you might be happy. You might actually be, it might be hard. I mean, there are people around the world right now, and if you read the Bible, most people in the Bible didn't have easy lives. They were very difficult. I mean, Peter that wrote this, he was executed for his faith. And Paul, I mean, you read his stories of what he did as he, in Acts, as he went around and planted all these churches. Like, it wasn't easy. It was hard, but at the same time, there was a sense of joy because they weren't alone. And we'll get to that in a second. Because Paul had everything he needed to do what God called him to do. And Peter had everything that he needed to do what God called him to do. And you and I have everything that we need to do what God has called us to do. And so before we make excuses, or before we think we're not good enough, or before we worry about, you know, I mess up all the time. Like, yes, you do. So do I. So did Peter. Like, read Peter in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four different views of the same story. Peter, like, he was just, he messed up all the time. Always putting his foot in his mouth. And I think if you told, you know, probably not Peter, but if you told the rest of the disciples, hey guys, in a few more years, a couple decades from now, Peter's going to write one of the books of the New Testament, which they didn't know what that meant then, but he's going to be one of the authors of one of the books. They'll be like, no way. If anybody, it wouldn't be Peter. Because he's always screwing up. And next month we're going to do a series in January and February called The Deceiver. And a deceiver is a deceptive person. A deceiver is a liar. And the story is about the life of Jacob, who is considered one of the great forefathers of the Jewish faith, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's one of the, spoiler, sorry, but he's one of the ancestors, the great, 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 great ancestors to Jesus. And the series is called The Deceiver because he keeps lying. Like, he is compulsive, and yet he's considered a hero of the faith. So the point is, there's no excuse. There's no reason to be like, no, God can't use me. God has given you everything that you need to live a godly life. So when you put on the suit, God's ability achieves. He does it. It's his power. The tools that we receive, we've got everything. He gives them to us when we believe. And it's through our belief in Jesus. It's through our belief in him and his death on the cross. That is what God has done for us. And again, it's simply when we believe. There isn't an extra step. There aren't extra pieces. We've got a baptism coming up in January if you're interested in getting baptized. And baptism is simply a public way to tell people that you've made the decision to follow Jesus here. But I've had people ask me, like, do I need to be baptized to go to heaven? And the answer is no. You don't need to be baptized to go to heaven. It's just a way to tell people, and it's a command, but it doesn't mean you won't get to heaven, because if it was a way you would get to heaven, then suddenly we've added works, we've added expectations to our faith. And it's not faith at that point. It's something you earn by doing something, and that's not what our faith is. It's simply through belief. So a little plug for baptism and talking about how it's not even that. Like, it's simply believing. So the Santa Claus shows us that God has equipped us this Christmas. We have everything we need. So the question is, and this is, you know, a good question, what are these tools? What are some of the things that we receive? You know, it's probably not instant weight gain. It's probably not, you know, you shave and you grow hair instantly, although I tend to have that one. As soon as I shave, it's growing, like, right away afterwards. But, and I'll have to use that for my advantage next week, but you'll have to wait to see what I'm wearing. Anyway, it's not that. So what is it that God has given us? What is it that God has given us? And so I just want to share some of what we get with our Santa suit. What are some of the things that we receive as followers of Jesus? What are some of these tools that we get when we decide to follow Jesus? Because Peter says that we get them. And again, I want these to be, they're just practical. They're real. They're things that God understands us. God created us. We talked about that last week. God designed us. And so He's given us the things that we need. So what are some of those things? The first thing is guidance. God has given us guidance. So we are called, we are told to live for Jesus. We are told to honor Him. And we've talked about that so many different times in so many different ways and different series. It's, what does it look like to live a godly life? What does it look like to honor Jesus? And you're not on your own to do that. You have been given the instructions. You have been given the tools. You've had someone walk you through how to do that. And I don't know, you guys are probably at some point, if you haven't already, will have a job of some sort at some age. And almost every job you get, hopefully, there is a boss or a supervisor or an employer or someone that walks you through how to do the job. They show you what to do and how that works and what that looks like. And maybe it's something as simple as how to wash dishes. You know, and maybe it's not even a paid job. Maybe that's what you have to do at home. Or what does it look like to clean your room? How do you define that? Because some people define that differently. And if you have someone that shows you how to do that, then you're like, okay, now I get it. But if someone just says, you know, hey, your job is to, you know, regularly adjust the transmogrifier and make sure the flip-flap is tuned precisely. Go. You know, if you don't know what those things are, which you probably don't, because you're not as educated as I am. I found out the other day that Chris told me, you know, my car might be low on headlight fluid. So I'll have to look into that. But the point is, like, you would be like, what in the world? How am I supposed to do this? But if you have a boss that says, okay, here's how the transmogrifier works. Here's how you adjust it. Here's how the flip-flap. Here's how you tune the flip-flap. You know, it's using this dial. You would understand how to do that. And I just want to understand that as we follow Jesus, we are given guidance. God guides us. God leads us. God shows us how to do this thing. And there's a couple of passages here. The first one is in John chapter 16. And this is Jesus talking. And He says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. And Jesus says, when I leave this earth, I'm going to leave what was called the Comforter, or the other Counselor, basically the Holy Spirit. And when I leave, those that follow Me will receive the Holy Spirit. And so the moment you believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. He came to reside in you. And so if you were a little kid, if you grew up in church world, as a little kid, you might have heard about, you know, accepting Jesus into your heart. Technically, the Holy Spirit is who came into your heart. He came into your heart. And we had a series called Three, where we looked into the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not on the slideshow. We also had a series we called Spiritual Not Spooky a couple years ago, where we talked about the Holy Spirit and what is His role and how does He work and all of that. But the point here Jesus is making is that when you believe in Jesus, you will receive the Holy Spirit. He will come and to live in you. And what is His job? He is to guide you into all truth. He is to make known what God wants for you. And so you're not alone. You're not on your own to figure this out. God has given His Holy Spirit to you to guide you. And again, you can look at Spiritual Not Spooky for that. There's another passage here in Matthew chapter 28. And this is what is often called in church world the Great Commission. And this is the command that God gave to His disciples, that Jesus gave to His disciples, including us who are now His disciples, His followers. And Jesus came and said to His disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there, let's see. There's disciplicity, which we talked about, and then what is MC3City? There's baptism, which I just talked about. We are commanded to baptize people to follow Jesus. And to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. That was all just prelude. He says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And maybe that's something that you just need to take in. You're not alone. You're not on your own on this. God is with you. He's not only with you, He is in you if you believe in Jesus. He is there to guide you, to show you what the right thing to do is. So you're not ill-equipped. You have exactly what you need. You're not lacking anything because God is in you. The dynamite God is living inside of you as a follower of Jesus and me as a follower of Jesus. So no matter what situation you get into, He's there to guide you. And that's a great tool. That's a great resource to have. That is one of the things that God has given us to live a godly life is guidance. We receive guidance from Him. The second thing we receive is what I'm calling competence. Competence is the ability to do something. And we're going to talk way more about this next week, so I'm just going to scrape along the surface of it. But we get what are called spiritual gifts. So the moment we believe in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. He comes to live inside of us to guide us. And then we also are given gifts, spiritual gifts. And these aren't like presents, but are abilities, supernatural abilities given by God to do things. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says this at the very beginning. Again, we're going to come back to this next week, so I'm just going to kind of leave it hanging here. But he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And so we are given gifts to help each other and to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. Over in Romans 12, Paul says something similar to the church in Rome. He says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And then he says, so if God has given you the ability to dot, 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 and he just goes on and talks about how you should use the gifts God has given you. And so we have been given the ability to do things. And so it's not even like, well, you know, yeah, you're a nice person, but you've really got no hope of doing anything of value. But no, we have been given spiritual gifts. And we're going to talk more about this next week. But I will say this in case, you know, suddenly the building burns down between now and then, which we probably figure something out. But that the spiritual gifts, they're not the same. We do not all have the same gifts. And so what that means is that what you have, and again, totally spoiling next week, but your part matters because not everyone around you has that part. And, you know, your part might not be up front. Your part might be behind the scenes, and it still matters because they're all valuable. And we'll get into that next week. But we have been given the ability to do something. We did a series called Gifts a number of years ago. That is on the slide. You can look for that on our website and listen to that as we talk about gifts at Christmas. That was maybe 2015 or something like that. I think that's over there. There's a big gift box, yeah. So we receive guidance, competence. The third thing we receive, and these are just some. There's so many more things we just don't have time for. But the third thing is that we receive endurance. We receive the ability to endure during temptation, to escape from temptation. And so God has said, I want you to honor me. I want you to live a life that honors me. I want you to follow me. And there are times that there are people, there are things, there are situations that want to entice us away from following God. Peter says in 1 Peter, either 1 or 2 Peter, Peter says, beware, be alert, because the devil is like a lion looking for someone to devour. And so the point is that Satan does not want us to follow Jesus. Our own sin nature wants to turn away from God. And so we are told to follow him because it's going to be for our best. It's going to be for our benefit. God wants us to follow him because he has the best plan for us. And sometimes that's hard for us to grasp. I think slowly have come to the conclusion that if the Google lady says there's a slowdown ahead, I have found an alternate route that will save you 15 minutes. Would you like to try it? Typically, I'm like, nope. I know the way. And I have learned, and I'm not saying this is always the case, but I have learned that oftentimes they're like, no, I'm going to go my way. And she's like, no, I have a better path for you. And I say, no, I'm going to go my way. I end up sitting because there was an accident that shut down the highway. And we'll sit for 2 hours. And I thought, you know, if I had followed the way that she was guiding me to go, it would have been for my benefit. And I'm not saying that God and the Google lady are the same. But there is something to our selfishness that says, no, I want to go my own way. And God's like, no, I've got this plan for you. And it's for your benefit. It's better for you. And so the question is, what about when these times come that want to pull us away, that want to tempt us, that want to entice us to do something else? Whether that's friends, whether that's things we watch or listen to, or situations that we find ourselves that we didn't even put ourselves in. And we are like, no, I don't want to disobey God. I don't want to turn against God in this. I don't want to go my own way. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 writes to the church in Corinth that he planted. He says, listen, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. The short version, and the NLT says that a little bit better, but I like what the NIV says here. The short version is, you know what? You're not special. Like, hey, everyone struggles with these things. You're not alone. Like, you're not the only one that's ever had to deal with this. And it's not meant in a negative way. It's just meant like, hey, God gets it. You're human. And we all struggle with sin. We all struggle with temptation. We get it. But that's not the excuse. That's not the end. Because he goes on and says, and God is faithful. So God is aware of how we are. God is aware of our situation. God is aware of our intentions and our desire to sin. But he is faithful to us. And he knows that his path is better for us. And so therefore, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So there isn't going to be a situation where you're going to be like, oh, sorry, this temptation was too much. I had to give in. He says, no, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He says, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And there's a difference here, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but there's a difference between temptation, because we all have temptation. If we didn't, we wouldn't be human. There's the temptation to want another milkshake. Kendra made a milkshake for me for my birthday this weekend. And we found a recipe online. And I've never... I worked at Dairy Queen, okay? So we just had a milkshake machine. It was milkshake, you know? I never saw one get made. And I know this sounds really weird. Like, you never made a milkshake. Like, I just know, okay? I would eat an ice cream sundae, and sometimes I'd be like, 3 scoops in my ice cream sundae. I'm going overboard, baby. Then I watched her make this milkshake. And I thought it was for the whole family. Because there were, 6 scoops of ice cream in there. And I'm like, okay. And I'm watching. And then she pours it all into one cup. And it just filled one cup. And I'm like, what in the world? She's like, is that normal? She said, yes, that's how much ice cream goes into a milkshake. There are a lot of calories in a milkshake. What is my point? My point is that is a strong temptation. But now that I know the calories, maybe the temptation isn't as strong. It's like, wow, I had no idea. But anyway, but there's temptations, because we're human. There's the point here. There's things that will tempt us, and it might be another milkshake. It might be something sexual. It might be a temptation to say something about someone or get caught up in gossip, because that's what everyone else around you does. It might be a temptation to tear someone else down so that you look better. There's all these different things that tempt us, but God is going to provide a way out. And that is one of the tools that we have so that we can endure. God isn't going to give us anything that we can not provide a way out for it. And that's a tool. That's a resource that we have. So there's no situation where you're like, oh man, I can't get out of this. No, God has promised that He's going to give us the way out. Now, sometimes we don't want the way out. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't care. Sometimes we rather, you know what? Sin is fun. Lots of milkshakes are fun. But that's not necessarily, that doesn't mean it's good for us by any means. And so we have been promised a way to endure, a way to get out. And what is really wild and what's really powerful, we did a series, and again, this is on the slide as well, called One of Us, a number of years ago at Christmas time as well. And we looked at Jesus and how Jesus lived on this earth as one of us. And there's this powerful passage that says that Jesus was tempted just like you and I are. And the point is that we are all going to be tempted. Temptation is going to come. It's whether we give in to that temptation that becomes the issue. The giving in to the temptation becomes sin. Now, there's also, and I don't have time to get into this, but you know, there's also validity to say, okay, if I know that this temptation is going to be at this location, and that temptation might want to draw me into sin, you know what, I'm just not even going to go to that location, then I don't have to worry about being tempted. Does that make sense? So there's something to be said for staying away, and I think that's what we talked about last month. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Because then you don't have to worry about even getting to the spot where you need to decide, do I want to give in to sin or not? So, that is the third thing, guidance, competence, endurance, and then finally we are given assurance. No, I shouldn't say finally. For this morning, the fourth thing that I'm going to share is assurance. But there are so many more things that we have in Jesus, so many resources we receive. But when I'm talking about assurance here, it kind of goes back to this idea of guidance, that we're not alone. But even beyond that, God cares about us. Like, God loves us, and we say that because, you know, we have family members, and we have kids, and things like that, and we say we love them. But saying it, and when we actually show it, are different, I think, right? And we know we're supposed to love our neighbor, but when they do that thing that's really annoying, you know, when they decide to show a video for church, this shows you how long you've been around MC3, and they fling dog poop over the fence into your yard, And that was a long time ago. Some of you remember that one. I was the one flinging dog poop. Anyway, but the word love, like to say that God loves us. Like He doesn't just love us in the, I don't know, rational sense. He cares about us. He understands our frailty. He understands how hard life is. He understands the challenges that we go through. He understands you, frankly, in a way that even other people around you don't. Like, you know, you and I might be able to share stories about, oh yeah, I had that same situation. And our situations are still going to be different just because of the differences in who we are. But God understands us deeply and intimately and says, I care about you. I love you. And in John 14, Jesus says this to His followers. He says, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and a heart. And He says, the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. He says, I'm giving you this peace, this sense of peace. It doesn't mean silence. It doesn't mean ease. It doesn't mean happiness. But it means in the midst of all those things, you can just be chill because God's got it. And He says, I'm not giving you a peace the world can give, because the world, you can try to find it. Oh, you know, if I drink enough, I don't have to remember anything, and then I'll have peace until you wake up the next morning. And if you can find satisfaction and you're like, oh, you know, my relationship right now isn't very great, maybe I'll find satisfaction in the arms of another person. And that seems good until it isn't. And then you're looking for love somewhere else. I mean, whatever these things look like, it's nothing compared to the peace that God can give us. And I know there's been a meme flying around lately. It's the scene from, I think it's Pirates of the Caribbean 3, I think, where the admiral guy is like walking down the deck of the ship and everything is exploding around him. Has anyone seen that? And yeah, okay. So it's kind of flying around the internet. You can look for it, or you can just watch whatever movie that was. But I think it's something like that, that, you know, in the midst of all of that chaos, God's got it. God's got you. And that's what he says, I'm giving you peace that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. It might be hard. It might be difficult. It doesn't even mean it's going to get better. But in the midst of that, God's got you. God loves you. God cares about you. And then over in 2 Corinthians, Paul says a similar thing to the church in Corinth. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion. The Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort. There we go. Who comforts us in all our troubles. So like in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our sadness, we receive comfort from God. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So God comforts us directly, and then he allows us to comfort and maybe go through a hard time so that you can comfort someone else going through a similar time. And we did a couple of series really about hurt. We did one and specifically looked at this passage as well called Wounded. And that's on the loop also. We looked at the life of Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk. And it's rough. And the fact that God was there for Habakkuk. And it's really a powerful book. And then we actually did just a year ago, we did Ruins, where we looked at the life of Job and how even through difficulty there, God was still with him. And that's the point that we need to remember there, is that, you know, even in the midst of all the hurt, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the sadness, we're not alone. God cares about us. God is there to comfort us. God is there to give us peace. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. So, I'm running late. Those are some of the things that we get. Some of the things that we get with our Santa suit. We get guidance. God says, I'm going to lead you. You have my spirit in you. I'm going to show you the right thing to do. We get competence. God's given us abilities. And again, we'll talk about that more next week. God has given us what we need and given us special gifts and abilities to do things to help other people grow and to help us grow. We've been given endurance. There's no situation where you just have to give in. God says, no, I'm going to provide a way out. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to come through for you in the midst of your temptation. And he gives us assurance and says, I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to be here for you in the hurt and in the pain. So the Santa Claus shows us that God has equipped us this Christmas. We have everything we need simply through our belief, our faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us the things you have. And thank you that we don't need to earn it. We don't need to work for it. We don't need to kind of weigh it out on a scale and make sure our things are, our good things are better than our bad or anything like that. That's what makes it a gift. That's what makes it something that you have given us. And so thank you for giving us everything that we need to live a godly life. And I pray if there's anyone watching in the room, online, whatever, that hasn't made the decision to follow you, Jesus, that you would continue to work in their hearts and stir them to see that, I mean, we want to follow you. We want to believe in what you have done on the cross for the sake of our eternity. But God, also thank you that you give us benefits for the sake of our now, for the sake of present, that we get to receive everything that we need. And so even some of the things we looked at this morning, God, thank you that that's just the beginning of the list of the things that we receive by following you. Help us to lean into that. Help us to rest in that, that there is no situation that we are not equipped for because you've given us everything that we need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.